Sorry, KT. I'm just trying to upgrade my setup.
How dare you?
How dare you?
I like that the outline ends with bye.
Yep. I look forward to that part.
Where is the outline?
I'm tired, man. Okay. Hi, and welcome to episode 9 of the Provisional Nerf News Network podcast. It's 10:30. I'm KT, and I'm here with all of the co-hosts, Vile Mod, JoelKinnick627, and Grimm's NerfWorks.
Yep.
Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Howdy.
I didn't say howdy. What is this, a rodeo? Actually this is my first rodeo. We are recording. Everybody's wearing headphones. All right, cool. We're good. We have had a time this week. Wow, we making this show. After this, we're done recording this podcast, I'm going to be reviewing and then uploading our fourth draft of the show. Because not because of anything wrong on our end, really, just because the news keeps changing.
The news moves ever onward.
Yeah,
it apparently does. And we'll talk about a little bit of that as we come through the stories, I think. But boy, howdy.
Even like draft one was one of our longest actual news episodes we've had, because it was something at like 16 minutes, which would make it our second longest episode.
The episode has not gotten shorter. Let me tell you, it's about the same. We're still gonna be. Yeah, it's our second longest. Our last one was like 18 minutes.
Yeah, and then it looks like the one after that was longest was episode 7 at 12 minutes, and then after that, episode 1 at 11 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it's whatever. However much stuff happens, right? Like, it's not really.
Yep.
Up to us to some degree. Like, we make some choices. We do definitely have to like make some choices about things that do and don't go in the episode, and it's hard to make those choices because it's like you want to report on everything, but at a certain point it's like, especially if something is not a finished product, you know, like it, you want to be like ahead of things that when they're exciting and new and let people know that things exist. But like, we debated whether to put the SoCal Nerf event that is like in the baby stages of coming back together, and they're still looking for a venue. And what we finally decided was we should definitely put it in the show because maybe someone with a venue will hear the story.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, we have products coming around that are in what's that like Nerf minigun thing?
Moab.
The Moab. The Moab was brought up, and we wound up deciding not to report on it, partly because it's already really well covered. Like,
you've seen the Walcom video. Let's be honest.
And so we have so much stuff to report on. I think we just decided to wait until it was like an available product.
Besides, right now it's just like a proof of concept, really, a prototype that destroys itself.
That's broken
half the time.
Itself like 4 times, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very, very cool. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely. Very, very cool. Yeah. It's spectacular.
Not something that we need to be covering in this context. We also, worth mentioning here because we are not going to talk about it on the podcast, we did wind up covering Gavin Fuzzy's B-car, the Bering Scar. That he has out, which that was a tricky one because he posted it. The only public place that it was posted was on his Instagram. And there was some confusing info about it. We wound up having to like edit the thing and like re-record part of it. And I'm really glad that we covered it because I just think it's really cool. It's exciting to have like a machined metal part coming from Gavin. And something that I think is sort of generally useful. Like, I remember it was like a year ago, like Bering Scars were this like whispered about concept that was like, is this going like, to be viable?
Oh yeah,
are we going to get
these? This
is kind
of a thing now. And,
yeah, and
where,
now
where
suddenly
do they sit?
Like,
and now they're actually like well adopted at this point, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like a maker that is like a pretty commonly known name in the hobby has designed his own, and the cheeky the Bible verse, the straight upon my face. I love that.
I love that so funny. Much.
That's so clever. Anyway, so that lots of weird decision making, lots of last second changes, but I do think we have a really good episode. And by the time you're hearing this, you've already seen it, hopefully. So I hope you agree. For the moment, let's dig in on the stuff that we did want to talk about here, starting with a piece of news that has haunted us since the very first episode that we put out. The Nerf Double Punch, the Nerf Elite 2.0 Double Punch, which when we first saw was a thing in Murph's hands in a banner image on Toys R Us Canada's website.
It was such a grainy image. We literally had two photos. We had that photo and then an Amazon France listing.
Yeah.
That was like you couldn't access, if I remember right.
Yeah, yeah. It was like nothing. And like you tried to link to it and it was a broken link. Mm-hmm. But it would give you the Google preview. Like I think Google generated the preview.
Yeah, you could see the preview, but you couldn't access the link. And then it was like, check back January 1st.
I think it was
it was July 1st.
Sorry. Or someone found it. Yeah. But now it seems to actually exist. And this was, again, one of these stories that even this new version of the story, we got the like box images, the like official box images. And we wrote up an entire story and recorded and edited and prepped an entire story about which was basically like, what can we derive? We had like a pretty long conversation in the Discord. Like, what can we actually derive from this box art? How much is okay to make assumptions about or make predictions about? And so I feel like we came to a pretty good balance based on the information we had at the time. And literally today, someone in a Facebook group who we also have a contributor who is in the same Facebook group got one in Canada. Yep. And like took new pictures and spewed a bunch of information about it. And it is not really at all what we thought it was.
Thanks, yeah. Shaz, for getting us that info.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a comment on another YouTube video, like before this leak happened, saying, oh yeah, I have one in hand. It's a binary trigger, and saying stuff like what we just had revealed in this leak. But I passed it off as it's just one of those YouTube comments trying to get clout because there's no pictures, there's no nothing,
right.
There's no link.
Right.
This is just comments on a leak video. And then fast forward to now, that comment
and here we
has
are.
Been basically verified as
and
that.
Here we are.
Yeah.
So we were expecting two flywheel cages, two independent strifes. We were, I was talking about like theorizing like, well, if you're running it off 4 AA batteries, like the motor draw power is not actually very much. So like you should be able to run two cages if only one of them is actually taking on like the load of actually like crushing a dart at a time. It seems a little questionable, but like Nerf's done worse. So like it could be okay. But it turns out there's one flywheel cage. I'm trying to understand how there's two barrels and two magwells and one flywheel cage.
Tall flywheels.
I actually had this weird idea in my head back when the leak first surfaced, when we just first got the images with the clear flywheel cage. It looked like it was only one flywheel cage to me, but I was kind of thinking maybe when you pull the trigger, one of the barrels reciprocates and then the flywheel cage actually shifts where it is in the blaster to match up with the barrel or something like that is what I was.
Well, I do think that the guy that actually, I feel like we would have been told that by now.
No, I don't think that's how it actually works. Like,
yeah,
looking at the clear images, it's clear that's not what was going on. But that was my original assumption.
So mine was more like the Rhino Fire. The Rhino Fire takes one motor that has a double shaft. It's a double-ended motor, so there's a shaft on both sides of a 130 motor, and they've basically taken the flywheels and flipped them around to extend them out. That's how the Rhino Fires work.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah, you can put two sets of flywheels on the motor.
Yes, yeah.
On the same... Oh, I didn't think of that.
It's an extended shaft. It's a double-sided like shaft motor, and they just... They
like
just
a Darth Maul lightsaber or
now,
whatever.
I brought this that up in sense. The Discord, and Jolt pointed it out, said no, you can see the motors in one of the windows from the photos, and what's even more interesting is if that's the case, the Rhino Fire, the motor is in the center. If that's the case, that means that this motor is on one side, and that means it could be an extended flywheel, like a longer one. It's really weird. But again, until the person either gets into it and we get more internal photos, I would say it's closer in line with like what a Rhino Fire is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, again, here we are, like, we have more information, but we're still kind of, like, guessing and
yeah,
kind of speculating.
There is a little bit, but it was also interesting seeing the details that it's a burst fire. That was something else that was new.
Yeah, the burst fire is... That's unexpected. So I guess there's two pushers, but it, like, pulling the trigger moves each pusher in sequence.
I
is that how it works?
I would assume if it's burst, that would mean that it goes from one barrel to the next, so it pushes a dart through one side. I kind of like your previous comment about making sure that it doesn't go through for draw purposes. Maybe it's putting right. one dart through first and then the other dart through again. But again, mm-hmm. I'm not assuming based on burst that would make sense. But again, we'll get more hopefully in the next day or so, or hopefully the next couple days. Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that whatever's going on here makes us want to talk about it this much, to me, means that Nerf did good on this one.
Yeah.
You know? Like, just the fact that it's this sort of weird and questionable and just
I can totally
bizarre.
See a kid looking at that one being like, Mommy, I want that one. That one looks cool or whatever in the stores.
I gotta say, I'm such a fan of the aesthetics of this. Blue yes. and green... I've heard people say they don't work in color theory or whatever. Well, screw that. They look great. This looks
I don't
amazing.
Know. For I as agree. Much as people say like green and blue don't work in color theory, every single time I've seen blue and green together, like kids go crazy over it. Like you see those like Nike like sportswear or whatever, it's neon green and neon blue or whatever, and people go nuts over it when they're kids and whatnot. That color palette seems to work for middle school age kids and like little kids very well. For some reason.
Having come up in the 90s, green, blue, and orange,
turquoise.
Watching Nickelodeon, that yeah. was that was the jam.
Yep.
Like, absolutely.
Yep.
And I mean, it's the same reason that, you know, the new Rival stuff, which is less green, but sort of like a yellowish border, sometimes bordering on green. Like, it's the same kind of area with the orange. I think it's great. And you know, we pointed out that it is similar to the flip shots, which also added that green to a lesser degree. I think that they're trying to reference the like duality aspect of the flip shots, because now these are all of the double quote unquote Elite 2.0 blasters, and they all share a color in common. I think it's intentional on their part that they added the green to this.
I still would have preferred the one that's more Moto Blitz colored, but honestly, it's still cool.
Either way, I think this is a home run from Hasbro.
I hope so. I think it deserves to be.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's really, really cool.
I think for all of us as well, seeing that cage, a new cage geometry or shape or something that fires too, that uses one motor. I don't know. I'm so curious on what they did with it.
I'm hoping hobby motors will still work.
You need like ridiculously long shafts, I think.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We don't know. Is it sort of like the Rhino Fire where it's got these extremely long shafts, you know, motor? Is it just a really long flywheel?
We know it's not like the Rhino Fire because we can see from the outside where the motors are and they're not in the middle.
Well, I meant more for the right. length of the shaft, but the point really is still like, is it a longer shaft? Is the flywheel like spacing of it and where the motor is placed within it? Is it, you know, we don't know. We don't know until somebody gets into it and starts getting us more stuff, but to me, it's exciting because it is a new design, a new shape, something that gives us more to work on and kind of build around. Yeah. And I personally love seeing that. That is my home run, is that right there.
Even for integrations, this looks good too. Because, like, look at that foregrip. That looks excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Looks
yeah,
comfy.
It kind of reminds me of, like, the Caliburn foregrips and whatnot.
A little.
Well, they have Nerf has taken hints from the hobby in the past. We've talked about that with the rival Accu stuff. But you know, I think that this is kind of what Nerf excels at, is making stuff that's wacky and out there, but like hopefully works well, as opposed to things that are sort of like, cause you know, a lot of people are always asking Nerf to make like pro line stuff that's like really like competitive, effective. And that's not really what they want to do. And we have other companies. We have Worker, we have Dart Zone, we have other companies to do those things. Nerf is very Nerf good ball. At this. And I think the point where Nerf gets disappointing is where Nerf just does, you know, Fortnite M4s.
Yeah,
that's pretty gross. Yeah.
So as a reviewer of Blasters, so many things come through that are just like, I already sort of know what it is coming out of the box. And to see something like the Fortnite Blue Shock, which is, I mean, it's a strife that looks like an M4. I already know this. There may be specific quirks about it that make it work better or worse, but right out of the box, like it's M4 shaped and it's blue. And that immediately makes me go, okay, cool. So it's an unsafe profile. And it's going to be more expensive because of the Fortnite logo, and some kid's going to paint it black, and like, why would I want this over a Moto Blitz, which is going to cost the same amount, or a Double Punch, which is way cooler and more interesting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, Pretty much.
I just want Nerf to focus on what they're good at.
Yes, I love the silly.
Give us the cool gimmicks and fun ammo types. I'm sorry.
Yes.
give us the fun concepts.
Yes.
Things like even like Fortnite stuff. Like even in our same episode, we talked about, not only do we have the Blue Shock, but we have the other side of the coin with the Bush Ranger Micro Shot. It's adorable. Yes. More of this, please.
Very, very cute.
Yes. Yeah.
Grim, maybe, I know you play some Fortnite. Do you have any context on the Bush Ranger, like what it's supposed to be exactly?
So there's a skin of this like woodland creature that has like this bush like stuff around it, essentially. It's almost it almost looks like this like porcupine style creature surrounded by a bush rather than like having quills on its back and whatnot. Mm. It's based on a skin.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's so cute.
It really is. I need that in my life. I need that.
And it's got the little like grenade belt on the little jolt. It's so good. So yeah, well, you know, we talked about this in the when we were talking about the insightful wrap M4. You know, they have, even with Fortnite stuff, used more interesting shapes and profiles in the past. And yeah, I still we don't have to dig in on this, right? Because we talked about it in the last podcast episode, but it's just like for us
same
to talk about it this long,
last time, but this time in
exactly
blue.
This time in blue, and it's just like
I literally just, went through a list of every gun in Fortnite, and then with KT and Vile after or Jolt and Vile after stream, and I showed all the ones that had better profiles that would have been more interesting that they haven't already covered.
Yeah.
And we were looking at like these ray guns and all these other cool stuff, and we're like, damn, these would have looked
ray gun,
awesome
you
as
say.
Toys.
Ray gun, you say.
We'll get to that. Jolt is extremely excited to talk about the Roblox space lock ray, but we have put it in a different part of the script for a reason, sir. And that reason is I want to go to bed sometime. speaking of companies doing actual interesting things, and also speaking of stories that have been chasing us since the beginning of this channel, X-Shot has not released a truly new product. How long has it been now? I feel like it's been like
the last one was
pandemic.
A skins blaster. It was
skins blaster with the stock and the pump action.
That's right. There
and
was
the one before
one
that I believe
was
the Crusher.
Was like... Right.
And if I remember really the one that they released, the like the last stand or whatever it was, had like durability issues, if I remember, like lots of creak or something. I can't remember.
Vali,
I mean,
you got
X-Shot's...
one in hand.
Which one?
X-Shot's...
The Griefer?
The last stand. That would be the one that was the skins, the pump action drum.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, I do.
I mean, X-Shot stuff has always been, like, a lot of their stuff has always been, like, a little bit creaky, but what it lacked in, like, the plastic sturdiness that some of the other companies have, it's always, like, it's always felt like, you know, their stuff is, in fact, cheaper, and yeah. despite the creakiness, it is, in fact, like, it is durable. Like, it doesn't...
Depends on the product.
...creak because it's going to break. It just creaks because the plastic's a little thinner, but it does, in fact,
it
like hold up.
It really depends on the product. I remember vividly buying the X-Shot Hawkeye, the version that they had for the Ninja tie-in, because it was on clearance at Target. I was like, yo, that looks pretty cool. I get it home and it breaks within 10 minutes because the plastic is so freaking thin.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't even mod it.
Yeah.
I would say they've gotten better as time has gone on, especially with the skins line. They've definitely... They've kind of learned
skins
over the years.
Solid.
And the I would say that X-Shot, for a budget company, has really solid blasters. They're not for high end. You can't really do much for modding because, again, kind of like the plastic, like you're saying, you know, you can't really put heavy spring loads in them. But they were really fun and interesting little, you know, kind of gimmicky stuff with the kickback and the.
I love them.
Break actions and stuff. They were fun. They were fun to toy with. They're, you know, they almost have their own level of like fidget type toy.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. But this new stuff that they're coming out with, I instantly was like, I need multiples of this. I need
the first
multiples.
Thing I thought of when I saw their new line was the Unity power system. And I was like, we need more of this.
No. The first thing that came to mind for me, was gun versus gun thumbnail.
I mean, there's also but like
to back up just a second, and like with the we kind of went through a thing with this, and it's funny because, you know, we've been following leaks of the names of these blasters and the concept of the line overall, and making all these insanity jokes. I think we've had like. Two or three episodes of like leaks related to this, mm-hmm. and we actually were prepping another set of just like leaks without pictures, and literally as I'm editing it, someone finds these pages from
UK
toy.
It was some
yeah,
kind
like
of
a,
news
it's like a
place.
Toy World. It's like a UK based toy industry magazine, and so this is sort of like an industry like internal sort of thing, and so there's a little article about it. And this is where I learned, as I mentioned in the show, that X-Shot is now the number two dart blaster company. And it doesn't clarify whether that is in terms of sales volume or sales revenue. But regardless, to see them have any metric in which they can call themselves number two is very interesting to me.
I would say this is Nerf fairly is gonna be number obvious. One. For one very, very important reason. That would be Alpha Strike. Because if you look at Alpha Strike, it was Hasbro's attempt to basically make their own version of what X-Shot does. If you look at the blasters, they're eerily similar. The packs are very similar.
They even mentioned the number of pieces and whatnot.
Yep, you got the cheap bottle targets. You got a ridiculous amount of darts. You got your six-shot direct prime revolver, your single-shot pistol, your really weird, oversized one-to-two-shot blaster. Hey, wait a second.
Well, and it's true to, like, X-Shot has for a long time owned the, like, party pack blaster market.
Oh, for sure.
You can go literally to, I see them at Target, and I see them at Walmart, and I see them at Marshalls, and I see
Ross
them at TJ Maxx and Ross.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
You see them everywhere. These big packs that X-Shot sells where you can get like a couple little, whatever the micro shots are, and you can get the, and there's like a one or two big blasters, and they make those big long blasters that are just single shots and all this stuff. But like, those are really fun if you're going to have like a couple kids over and you just need a handful of blasters lying around. And they've just sort of owned that casual market for a while. And I think you're right that Alpha Strike was Nerf's attempt to sort of get back into that market.
And they failed so miserably.
If you go to a Dollar General, I'm not sure that they're failing that badly. Like,
I would say the reason I'd say they failed is look at what's been released. Alpha Strike hasn't had a new product in forever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I don't think... I think it has failed in terms of Nerf sticking with it and continuing to support it. I think they've recognized that it didn't really work out. But in terms of, like, it did get them in stores that they weren't already in. It did put them in Dollar General. It put them in, like, Walgreens. Like, yeah. I see Alpha Strike
CVS
stuff in, like,
and
Walgreens.
Yeah, I've seen them there.
Yeah,
I've seen stuff in there places, pre-Alpha Strike. And, things like Snapfires and Jolts. I still see
yeah,
stuff
but
in there.
But I mean, maybe my drugstores just suck. I don't know. But, like, I see still Reflex Sixes in those same places all the time. And then sometimes I also see an Alpha Strike Blaster. So it succeeded in that regard. But more back to the point here, I think part of the question is, what are these new X-Shot modular blasters really going to feel like? Because the concept here is, like you were saying, like Unity Power System, where there's this huge line of blasters and they all can attach together, and it has this, you know, I compared it to PDK Films, where, like, it literally looks like a PDK Films thumbnail.
Or Gun, like, versus Gun thumbnail, even more, honestly.
Yeah, every blaster holds, like, a million extra darts pointed at the enemy, but you can't shoot those. It's just dart holders, but it looks rad. And you attach them all together, and it's this gigantic behemoth of a thing. And the freaking mad mega barrel.
Oh my god!
What? I need that in my life.
I'm just wondering how the packaging is going to work for that thing.
Here, my guess is that the and actually, if you look at the picture of the mad mega barrel, there's a few segments that look a little bit different, and I think it's going to come packaged, broken down into, like, six.
Oh, so
pieces,
it snaps
probably.
Together like a ring.
I think
or whatever.
It snaps yeah. together into a ring.
You know
and,
what I want to know?
And I think part of the idea there, too, is you can take the barrel out in order to store it.
You know what I want to know? How they managed to, with X-Shot quality plastic, get a rotation mechanism that doesn't immediately shear itself.
So that's my question. Is this going to show a change in their plastic quality? We have no way of knowing at this point.
We will find out.
I mean,
out.
We know that the price ranges are in the same realm as what we're used to. We know that it rained. It's like, what is it, like 50 pounds ish for the Rage Fire, their first motorized blaster, and like under 10 pounds for the Manic.
I feel like the tripod is going to be cheap, but the actual blaster itself looks fine.
It looks like it's very similar to that one Dart Zone chain fed. Because if you look at the chain, you can see it has holes in the middle where I assume a wheel shaped pusher would push the dart.
Possibly. Yeah, that was one of the questions that we had too, is whether the chain would be backwards compatible. And
I'm going to assume no.
Well, someone who had their hands on it, I put this in the show as one of our many last second edits, because on this story, I recorded the story, I edited the story, we got new information, I had to go back and record a whole insert, then we got new information on top of that, and I had to go back and put notes on top of my edit.
Yeah.
And one of those notes is, someone with product in hand was able to confirm the chains are not backwards compatible.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, if they're going to sell the chain, whatever.
I feel like the only people who are going to care about that are, like, my two friends who took part in the X-Shot Crusher 1,000 Dart Challenge. Because,
yeah.
Like, I know SFI got Bray's 1,000 Dart Chain, and my buddy Bobo has a massive 1,000 Dart Chain that he, like, has... Like, only they would probably have enough chain for it to matter.
Maybe people will get some new 1,000 dart chains with this, and then we'll...
Maybe,
cause
maybe.
Because, like, 4 darts per second with, like, that many darts, that's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Off the shelf at X-Shot prices, like...
That's pretty dope.
Right, let's go.
I want to say a few things about this. The dart storage, I'm very actually happy with it, because... I will say, for people that run certain game types, you know, something like HVZ or whatever, having dart storage like that is actually really nice. Even yeah. with that Mad Max, hopefully, or the, you know, Mad Barrel, whatever it is, it you know, something like that might actually do well. Hopefully they did change their plastics and that works great, because it looks...
The Mad Mega Barrel would actually be a great HVZ
yes,
blaster now that I look
absolutely.
At it.
It would be
absolutely.
Fantastic. It'd be perfect. And, like... The way the dart storage works also makes it very easy to keep, you know, even if you filled up your barrel, you can still keep adding to your dart storage, because there's so much. It's you don't even need a dump pouch at that point. It's yeah. It is a really cool one. I am very curious. I think we got some info that it fired something like 4 darts a second for the rage fire.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Yeah,
which is not bad. I mean, considering
not shabby.
Yeah, that is really not bad, especially for a chain belt, like a chain driven, you know, one that's set up like that. That's surprising, actually. I'm really curious how they got that.
Yeah, I'm excited for this series. I got to be honest, it looks great.
So, one thing that I would hope to see is I'm sure somebody will take this tripod mount on the bottom of the Ragefire, especially if the tripod turns out to be as flimsy as we all think it will be, and 3D prints an adapter that we can use to attach it to other stuff, even just like a camera tripod, you know, just like something
or like
that's
maybe
more solid.
A Vulcan tripod of all
or
things.
A Vulcan tripod, except every Vulcan tripod I have is like falling apart. The other thing is, I'm curious to find out what the rail is. It looks like Picatinny, but they all look like Picatinny. And then we get them and they're like mini Picatinny or like something weird that's like almost Picatinny and not quite compatible.
Vile? I'm pretty sure wasn't the pump action one that from the Skins line actual pick rail?
No, they're still kind of... I'd have to go get it, and I don't think pick rail truly... It's kind of like what KT's saying. It's not exactly pick rail. It's like sort of their own shape.
Like a pseudo pick.
Yeah, it's sort of like Rival, right? Like Rival's looks like pick rail, but it's...
Right.
It's Rival. Yeah, it's its own version, and I think it's the same. I'd have to go get it to really make sure, but...
I feel like this is really relevant based on just how many attachments are coming out. Mm-hmm. In this series, like there's all these dart holders, there's a scope on the Ragefire, which is hilarious that particular blaster comes with a scope. There seems to be like a low-lying scope on the Berserko as well, which
I think that's going to be inbuilt though, it looks like.
Yeah, it's hard to tell for sure. Regardless, considering where they want you to put the dart storage on that, it's pretty funny that there's anything right there, like you can't see through the darts, but okay. Doesn't put me off the blaster at all.
The Berserko honestly looks kind of like an X-Shot Eagle Point.
It kind of does, now that I think about it.
They all have pretty clear parallels to other blasters.
What are you talking about?
I mean, the Manic is a reskin. What's
like,
the
most
what's
of
the
these
one
are,
that we have?
But like, then look at the freaking Mega Barrel. Draw a comparison from that to literally anything else. I dare
Alfado
you.
Alfado 76.
Well,
no,
wait,
not even
it,
close. It's a pump action
X-Shot
Springer.
Doesn't X-Shot have a clip-fed blaster that's like not cosmetically just like this, but like
the quick slide? Yes.
Yeah, but like functionally similar. It's just that we now have a curved clip.
It just takes 10 round clips, and it's like Slide Prime.
Yeah, it's just a round clip. So I mean, I do think that they're drawing off of existing technology. All the companies do that. I wouldn't expect them to design some new thing completely from the ground up to do this. The innovation here is that they all link together. Obviously, it's not an innovation in the sense that this is the first time it's been done or anything.
Yeah, Nerf's done it. Busby's done it.
But we haven't seen anything like this in a while. And we haven't seen anything, I feel like, to this scale. Like, I think that the scale of this goes beyond what the Unity Power System does in a lot of ways. I think
it
the Unity
might
Power
even
System,
go beyond the Busby Ultimate system as well.
And it definitely feels like it does a lot more than Modulus ever did. Like Modulus, you know, like you see people, you know, Coop and all these people would make videos about like attaching 20 barrels to each other, but there isn't actually that much more you can do.
Yeah, Modulus is kind of a letdown when you think about it.
Obviously some great blasters came out of Modulus, but like they weren't great because they were like modular. Like you couldn't actually, like there's some actual functionality to taking your motorized rage fire and attaching literally any other blaster to it. Like you now have your full auto and then you have your like backup and or your like non-motorized blaster attached to it. You could rip one off and like run away from the turret. Like there's options, right? Mm-hmm. Like I feel like the way that the actual like the full primary products are able to engage with each other, as opposed to just like you get the primary product and a couple goofy little
things. The vibe I get from this as well, just with all of them combined together, reminds me of like that Power Rangers trope where it's just like, we gotta stop the bad guy. We're combining all of our weapons into this one mega weapon.
Oh, maybe they'll make them in different colors eventually.
You know what? I'm calling it right here, right now. New game type with this thing as a tripod and the blasters on it. American Gladiator style. And and you know, you knew exactly which game I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes. You know exactly which one, where you have one person on the turret and somebody else having to basically get like single shot blasters all the way up to try to hit the target. Totally. Oh, totally. God, I'm calling it now.
I love that. I love that. It's really good. That's a really good idea. So, yeah, lots of options, lots of cool things. X-Shot, call me. Let's talk.
I
need multiple rage fires, X-Shot. I'm just saying that.
I need so many of this. Like, my inner kid who wanted something like that, where it's like you combine them all into this big thing, and then you show up to the Nerf War with this mega blaster or whatever, and everyone's like, whoa, this is that.
I have real outer kids who are doing the same thing as your inner kid. Let me tell you, I know that these will be a big hit around here, so I'm excited to get them in my kids' hands at some point. So that is it for that. It's time for us to play What's That Blaster? This is our game that we play mid-podcast, where one member of the team picks a blaster and reads with slight modification the official description, the official Nerf description, and the rest of the team attempts to guess what it is. If we guess correctly, everyone guessing gets 4 points, unless we use lifelines, which are the original release year of the blaster, the original retail price of the blaster, and the original capacity of the blaster. For each lifeline we use, we lose 1 point. Last week was Grim's first opportunity to pick, since Grim's entered the game late, and nobody guessed it. And so Grim's score is slowly catching up to everyone else. Current standings, I have 11 points, Vile has 10, Jolt has 15, and Grim has 7. And this week is Jolt's turn to pick, and apparently Jolt has something devious put together for us.
Yes, a big thank you to my good friend, GrimReaper2458. They actually suggested this one to me.
All right.
All right.
All the Grims
all ready?
Teaming up.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Take your archery skills to the extreme with the awesome blank launcher. Standing more than 2 feet tall and designed just like a real compound bow, this cool launcher can fire soft foam Nerf arrows up to 40 feet away. So pull it back, aim, and launch as you try out this extreme archery, Nerf style.
Oh, no. 2 feet. Okay, wait. It's 2 feet long. I feel like that's our most important piece of information here.
Thanks, Grim.
Real compound bow sounds like a throwaway. I like, it's hard for me to believe that it is in any way actually like a real compound bow. I did play with the Dude Perfect bow one time.
And Dude Perfect is really tall, though.
Well, they said it was over 2 feet.
They said foam arrows, though.
Yeah.
They are, but they have foam tips. They are foam.
No, it's rubber.
Man, you're rubber. Get out of here.
Well, the biggest problem is that a two foot, not cheating, but I actually have a 2 foot, you know, ruler on my desk, and it's the Dude Perfect bow is closer to like 3 foot. It's a pretty large bow, actually.
I have one in hand. I believe it's actually longer than that. That thing is huge.
Yeah, it's a pretty large bow. The only weird thing is that there's no talk about Rebel line, there's no talk about Zombie Strike, there's no talk about...
The things that come to mind are either the original bow and arrow, there's the Big Bad Bow, the Blazin' Bow,
actually,
Lightning Bow,
KT, and then... you have this bow, I'm pretty sure.
Which one?
the original, like, early 90s Nerf bow.
Bow and arrow. Yeah, I do. The bow and arrow is what it's called.
The bow and arrow, yeah. I guess it is technically 2 feet.
Yep. I think that...
I am looking... That, for once, I do, in fact, have that one in arm's reach, and it is actually 2 feet tall.
And if you're talking about the distance of how far those can go, if it says 40 feet... That's not really that far. A lot of the later ones, because of how small, they're more arrow-like. Yeah. The foam's not going to go very far.
Yeah, right. The only things that come to mind that would shoot 40 feet is either the Blazing Bow, Big Bad Bow, or Bow and Arrow. I'm leaning more towards Bow and Arrow, though.
Yep.
I had that thought, and I'm open to it. I'm open to it. Okay, so here's the question. Do we want to just go with it, or do we want to ask for a release year? Because I think the release year... would really be a key piece of information to differentiate those particular bows.
Yeah, let's go for release year this time.
I would feel a little safer if we went with release year.
Is that your you want to go with that?
Vile, do you agree?
Yep, let's go with it.
Okay, we're going to ask for the release year, please.
1998.
Yep, it's the bow and arrow.
That's I believe that's the bow and arrow. What? I have...
No, well, okay. So the original bow and arrow, the turquoise and pink one, was like 1990. One or two, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot earlier than 1998. I remember having one when I was like... So, like, 1998 is when I started high school.
Yeah.
What just was it? The Aerostorm? Wasn't
just
that a
to,
thing?
Just to age myself for everybody out there. Don't, enjoy.
KT, I didn't even say anything. Don't worry. I don't want to age myself much either. But, yeah.
Yeah. No, the original bow and arrow is older than that. Okay, original compound bow. Well, then, isn't that the Big Bad Bow? Because it did fire foam arrows.
That's true.
We're used to people modding it to fire darts and stuff. But okay, like, so then it was an arrow shooter.
The only other one other than that is that one that was a pull-in release. And it was black with orange like flames on it. It also shot the same...
That's the Blazing Bow.
So the Blazing Bow...
But if
Blazing
we're talking
Bow is an in-strike blaster.
Okay,
if
so
they're
it
calling
later.
It a compound bow... I feel like that... What year did the original Avengers movie come out?
2012.
Yeah.
2012, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Because the Big Bad Bow got a Avengers-related version.
Yep.
Was it really that far out?
Or yeah.
Is that... Really? Okay.
We're just aging ourselves again, KT. It's fine. yeah. Because again,
I'm pretty sure the Big Bad Bow was an in-strike blaster, wasn't it?
The Big Bad Bow is the most. No, the Big Bad Bow was pre-in-strike. Or at least it's not. The Big Bad Bow is the closest thing that they could reasonably describe as related in any way to a compound bow, just in terms of it having the.
Did have that. I will say for sure, because I've torn apart my fair share of Big Bad Bows. So
well, and the other problem is there's multiple. Like I'm saying, there's multiple Big Bad Bows, and we have definitely original. Been stuck on having the right blaster but the wrong version before.
Yeah.
If it is one of those, it's got to be the original one, because if the Avengers
the
one
original red
out,
one, right?
Yeah, because
the Avengers one was purple.
Yeah, because they've had three different ones that I can
there was
call
the yellow
on.
One that came out in In-Strike. There was the purple one that came out in like 2012, and then there was the original red one.
Yep.
So I guess original red Big Bad Bow is
well,
the answer.
Okay, so do we... I don't think that either of the other lifelines is really going to help us.
Not really. No,
not really, because stock capacity, it's more than likely just one dart.
Yep.
And then price point, that's not going to help too much either.
Yeah. All right, before we go with this, because I'm thinking the same thing. Before we go with this, though, is there any other bow that we're forgetting about? I can't think...
Not that are 2 feet tall. All the other in-strike blasters that were a lot smaller and whatnot that shot like those Nerf arrows and whatnot of other varieties.
All right. I'm ready for it.
Going with red, the original Big Bad Bow.
Original Big Bad Bow.
Yep. That's my guess.
All right, Jolt, that's us. What you got?
Okay. So yes, the answer is Big Bad Bow. But y'all, listening to y'all talk about versions of the Big Bad Bow drove me up the freaking wall. You all gotta right. be kidding. Okay, so there's more than three of
we
them.
We got... Wait, Did we get it, though?
Yes, I'm counting them all as the same one, because technically it originally came out as in 1998, but the description is for the red one because they didn't have a description for the original because it was the 90s. So I'm counting it because, I mean, come on. But there were more. There were like three different purple versions. One of them being the Avengers Hawkeye one from 2012.
Oh, because, they made it in purple, and then they also made the Hawkeye purple one.
Correct.
It's just, like, stickers is the only difference, right?
There were literally, like, two... There was an updated purple one, too, I believe. So there are three different purple ones. And then there's obviously the red and the yellow, I believe.
Oh, my God. Grim, I see you editing your own score.
Yeah, I added up the three to my score. I'm at 10 points now.
Not even waiting.
But not even fixing anyone else's scores, just your own.
Hoping we'll forget.
I saw you guys on the page and whatnot, so I just figured you'd also do that to your guys'.
All right. Well, I'm excited that we got one off Joel. That was a good one, honestly, because like that gave
struggle.
Us a lot. And it, again, it shows that like you can definitely have one where like it was obviously a bow. We knew that it was a bow, but there was still so much to try to parse and talk about. And I think this is the first time that the release year
was actually helpful.
Really the most important piece of information for us.
Yep. Yeah, it would have, because if you had said like early 90s, because again, I don't even know if it was the 90s. Wasn't it like 1988 or something like that when the original? Or no, it was, maybe it was
early 90s. I think it was 91 or 92, wasn't
it? The original bow and arrow, I'm fairly confident it was like 1991. I think you were correct in that.
In the original, yeah. It was very, very early on. I remember it because when I was a kid, I wanted one really badly and my friend had one. And I always wanted the same, and my parents never wanted to get me anything Nerf. Because they were afraid I wasn't gonna, I was gonna lose the ammo, and we're not gonna buy anymore.
1991, under original Nerf. Yeah, I definitely had one.
1991 for $20.
I definitely had one, and some of the arrows at some point eventually. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have one now, but you know, they sure have taken wear.
I have one of the arrows for them. One of the things I will say is that if it had been the original bow and arrow, I doubt it would have gotten 40 feet. Those arrows are too light. They do not. They just spiral out of control. They flow. <Yeah. laughs>
Totally. Okay. Well, good game, everybody. GG's. Again,
thanks, Grim,
score currently
for the suggestion.
Score now currently is me with 14 points, Vile with 13 points, Jolt with 15 points, and Grim's at 10. So we are tightening the scores up for sure.
Grim's making up for lost time.
Yeah, pretty much. So, moving on. We have a new competitive blaster on the field here, which I am kind of tempted to buy, but there's a couple questions. But it is the Unicorn. And the thing that really makes this special... A couple things make this really special. One is that it is not made by a company that generally does dart blasters. It is made by a company that is historically a gel ball company. But in conversation, like intense conversation apparently with Valor, it came into existence as a foam dart blaster made by this company. And from everyone that I'm hearing that has one, it sounds pretty great. Right?
I know. I want one. Gimme.
I want one.
For sure.
I need that.
Like, I like how it took, like, all of 2 seconds for... Like, I remember I spent, like, so long hyping up the try-on and whatnot when I saw it at Inware. Like, oh, yeah, there's nothing else in this category right now that, like, does this as well. And then out comes the Harrier. Then out... Now we have a Mark IV. And now this thing. It's just like,
I mean, I still love my Tryon. I'm probably going to be using it.
Yeah, the Tryon's still great. It's just interesting seeing how much more saturated this market, especially near that price point, is getting.
Yeah,
the Harrier, of course, being an outlier because it's so expensive.
The thing I like most about this Unicorn, though, is not necessarily the price or the construction, although those are both great. What I like about this, size. Little story time here. I am not the tallest human. I am rather, I'm on the shorter side. I'm not super short. I'm like 5'8", but my arms aren't the longest. And one of my biggest complaints with a lot of pump action springers, things, especially like the Hades, is most prominent for me in this issue. My arms don't want to be fully extended to reach that pump grip. It's not fun. My arms want to have a little bit of slack in them, at least. And that's kind of a tough thing for me to find in this hobby. But this looks like it would do it.
I like having long stocks so I can at least comfortably shoulder a blaster. But other than that, honestly, I don't mind the front end being shorter. That's all fine for me because it means it's more compact. I can duck behind cover easier. And this kind of looks like that perfect size in that regard because it's a good size stock, but it has a very compact front end.
Yes, I love long stocks too. Long stocks are great. It's just I usually have to make them shorter to compensate for a ridiculously far forward pump grip.
Ah.
So this looks like it would be a blaster that I would really, really love. It's got slam fire too, which is like insane.
Oh, it has all the features. That's the real thing, right? It's got
takedown
such
pins.
A nice takedown. I mean, because, like, it seems so obvious to just have a conversation with somebody who's knowledgeable about the hobby if you're trying to sell a product to the hobby.
And I mean, that's what Gameface did.
They hit everything. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Being able to talk to somebody or watch a video made by someone who was involved in the product's development is just, it's a light years difference.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I used to think about stuff like this back when I had first joined the hobby. I wanted to see Explorer at the time, since they were the one who was innovating, or like when Jet Blasters came around to do stuff like this. And they sort of did that with the Sita, but the Sita was really janky and cheap plastic feeling, and it just didn't feel good. But I was like, to me, since I came from the airsoft scene, it seemed obvious to make a blaster that had an upper and a lower, and then be constructed out of durable materials with like a full metal internals system or something like that. But this basically is exactly what I was thinking back then, and it has all the features we'd want and whatnot. The only thing, of course, it needs now, I guess, is maybe an upgrade kit to take it up to 200 or something.
Which I hear is already in the works.
Well, so it sounds like that's sort of the one question mark about the blaster. So this is yet another thing that I had to like go back and edit in the show after recording everything. But in its stock form, it sounds like there was some design disagreement between the company and Valor about the plunger tube, where our hobby generally is going to want. And I know that there are exceptions to this, and there are blasters that we have seen where there's like a slot in the plunger tube or a speed hole in the plunger tube that definitely does benefit performance overall on a specific blaster. But it sounds like in this case, the solid plunger tube is definitely the better one to have. And it's a little unclear. I'm saying this not based on like theory of design. I'm saying this based on like we have these shots from Monkey Mods, who is like, I have both plunger tubes. I've tried both plunger tubes. The solid one is getting higher, better performance. It sounds like in this blaster, if you want higher numbers, that is the one to have. And
I think if you want lower numbers, it's much better to get the
slotted plunger tube. I mean, that's
because
probably
lighter
true.
Spring loads. Because here's the thing is with that lighter spring load and a higher plunger volume, you need that a little bit of help sometimes to get the plunger up to speed. This is why the stock long shot has such a huge plunger volume, but because of the light spring load, it's shit.
Yeah, but it made it possible to put heavier spring loads in it because it had the plunger volume to sustain that. Well, and so, you know, hopefully both of those things will be available. Right now it's a little bit unclear. So another thing that didn't make it into the episode, and I'm not putting it in now, but pre-orders did just open on Out of Darts. I think they also opened on like France Foamworks and maybe somewhere else. But it's unclear what plunger tube you're getting with those. And it may be that you can just reach out to the companies and ask. If they know, they may or may not know which one they're getting. I would love what would be really incredible would be able to order the blaster and get both plunger tubes. Like, it comes with the one installed, and you can also get the upgrade kit, like an upgrade kit with it. But again, this is the company's first foray into dart blasters. Whatever. It's cool.
I suspect that even if it's not included, that it will only be a matter of time before someone makes an aftermarket plunger tube.
That is also true. I'm sure the aftermarket will hit it up. Regardless, that's a pretty minor point of contention for a blaster that I think just looks freaking great. It just looks great.
It looks awesome. It's not too real steel-esque, but of course it's going to, since it's coming from a gel ball company, but it's not that bad, and it's in bright white and whatnot. It has blue anodized bars on the stock.
White. I do like the white.
Yeah, I like the white because it also means it's easy to paint.
Yes. It does look really, really good. So huge kudos to Valor for successfully navigating this relationship, apparently, with this company and coming up with what looks like a really, really great product. I definitely am looking to get one for myself. I say that I should probably just pre-order it and just be done with it.
You can already actually buy them on the M416 website.
So you can, it sounds like those are being drop shipped. And so it's unclear if you're actually going to get a drop shipped one before you would get a pre-order.
Oh, okay.
It's just a big old question mark. Nobody knows. And so, like, if you already have a relationship with one of these US-based companies, it might make more sense just to pre-order from them to, like...
Yeah, like, I know if I get one, I'll be ordering mine from Containment Crew. Love those guys.
There you go. Containment Crew. Oh, that's right. That's who else had it. Thank you. Containment Crew is great. And so ordering from them would be totally fine. So, like, if you consistently already order from one of these companies, that's probably the way to do it. Because I don't think you're going to get, like, a significant... You're not going to get it way earlier than everybody else, I don't think, just because you order directly from the company. And, you know, these companies, these retailers are already so well-versed in our hobby, they are probably going to be checking their stock, maybe. I don't know. I shouldn't promise that or say that, but, like, I feel like they're... You know, we had this thing happen with the Game Face...
Geon, where they recalled them and whatnot.
Where they just send them back. They were like, nah. You know, because they knew as soon as they got them, they were like, no. This isn't going to work. And so
I don't know if we know what happened with that. I don't think they've said anything,
well,
have they?
Okay, you're right. I am speculating. That's what it seems like happened.
I mean, they disappeared. The listing just gone.
It just went away. Exactly. So, like, I don't really know exactly, but it feels like that's a result of people who know our hobby reacting to a product and being like, and like,
yo, this
sort
is
of looking
shit.
Out for us, which I appreciate.
Can we talk about a couple of the other features that it has that I thought were really cool?
Yeah, please hit it.
It has multiple grips included, where it has a normal grip and it has a grip with an end strike stock attachment point on the bottom, but also built into that stock attachment point, you could screw in a pop bottle for a stock.
That I saw that in
I was
Valor's
like, that's
video.
Really quirky. I kind of like that. I dig that.
Like, no it's one like, asked, but cool.
It's like, no one asked, but yeah, cool include and whatnot. I'll happily take that. And you know,
yeah,
I, that well, like, who knows? Maybe like, for whatever reason, like, oh, I can't fit the stock into my luggage. Guess I'll just buy a soda bottle when I get off my flight.
I mean, Valor was saying stock, it's for boom. Like, it's for like HBA people who are used to using a pressure bottle as their stock.
There's also this top brine thing. It just includes a top.
Yeah,
slide.
That was actually what I was going to say next. I remember that's people right. like Addy actually said that sometimes they prefer having a top slide prime on blasters and that they really like blasters like this. So for people like that, that would actually be a spectacular option. Because it hits good performance metrics and has a top slide prime.
People who came up
love
on the Retaliator.
The other thing I like is I feel like I don't think we'll see this too often, but I could see people starting to replace their Talons with the new mags this thing comes with, since they're easily cleanable and whatnot, if they're not using something like Coda's. If they don't, if they need an affordable magazine, these would be affordable, and they can be cleaned with the push button to open up the bottom and then access it.
Do we even know if they're being sold separately?
Yeah, they're being sold separately on the site for $10.
That's pretty comparable to Talons. That's not bad.
Yeah, so they're talons, but they can be cleaned easy, and you don't have the worry of, like, the cap randomly falling off or whatever, because it has a button that you have to press to actually release it.
Okay, yeah, I kind of like that.
The mags do sound nice. The mags do sound nice, even just on their own.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to fit as many darts as talons, though, because they only include 10 darts in the blaster itself.
Maybe, yeah.
So they might be like 10-round talons.
Uh-oh, that I do not like.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Moving on, we talked about another high-performance blaster, and this is more of a skin shell to an existing platform. But I was hoping that someone, because I know a couple of you have been following this designer a little longer, could give a little more background for those who may not be super familiar, like me, with Explorer. What the story is behind the X-Skull platform and this designer's work in general, and their history and sort of being we call them a pioneering designer, and it might be nice to give some context to that statement.
So Explorer in this case is like a really old hobby name. They've been around for a long time. Some people might know them from being the original designer of the X-Zeus, which later Jet ended up with the licensing for and whatnot. They were the creator of that platform. Explorer kind of started as...
they designed the Sita, didn't they, too?
They designed the Sita as well, yeah. Hing, the original creator, like proprietor, I guess, of Explorer, runs a, like, they basically work for the Singaporean government, from my understanding, to make firearms and produce them. So they have all these machines that machine off stuff. And basically he's like, I like Nerf blasters. I have all this equipment. This is my company. Why don't I just, in off hours, produce cool shit? And that's kind of what happened. So they started messing around with stuff, making designs and whatnot out of, like, CNC, I believe it's, like, CNC PVC and acetyl is what a lot of their stuff is made out of. So they're really expensive, but they're really cool. They're mostly for, like, a different kind of market, for this very high-end market. They were some of the people who really first got into making half darts more of a common thing. They sold, like, long shot upgrade parts and other stuff back in the day, and their own half darts.
Yeah, they did some other stuff. You know, they did the long shot kits. They also did one for the Centurion that essentially, from what I understand, it looks very similar to basically like the internals from a long shot. But it's like acetyl. It's also a lot of machined aluminum, and it is like huge blocks of aluminum that he has to machine this out of. I was looking over some of the photos of what he has, and the stock that he needs is very expensive, which is why if you look at the prices on their website, they're not cheap by any means.
No, they're not cheap.
And
But if you want to get the most expensive blaster in the hobby, this is how you do it.
Yeah, it is the kind of upper end, but it's, you know, and especially when we see like some of these different cultural differences, like, you know, the hobby of Nerf in Singapore, which is where they're from. You know, it is a totally different mindset. It's not really as big of an issue if it does look more like, you know, kind of real steel-esque, or if it's made out of full metal or whatever. You know, they have places that they can do it. And it, again, it's just a totally different thing. They're very competitive gameplay footage out there, obviously, that we've seen from a lot of other very well-known community members. And, you know, this, like you're saying, was very pioneering. And for us back in the day, when he was coming up with these full machined, you know, blasters and internal parts, everybody else was still doing, you know, hardware store parts. Stuff that they were getting from like Home Depot, and this guy had full machined parts.
And then you had like these other guys where it was like, you know, you had like Orange Modworks, and they were making stuff out of cheap pop metal, and he was like, machined aluminum.
Yes,
here you go.
Yeah, machined triggers and catches, and you know, it because it, like you're saying, a full shop has all that at his disposal very well, and just wanted to do this for fun. Mm-hmm. And
I remember Ole Youngrim back in the day wanted one of the, I think it was called the X-Mando or something like that. And I was like, if I ever get a shit ton of money, I'm buying an X-Mando. I wanted one of those blasters really bad. I remember actually one of the other things they used to do is they used to sponsor tournaments in the Singaporean area, mm-hmm. where basically they put on this yearly tournament where they made a custom machined design blaster that was exclusive as the trophy for the champion. So one person would walk away with the updated design every year of this specific blaster that the only way you could get that design was by winning the tournament. It was like this special thing they did for the community.
Yeah, it is really cool. And again, this was a very, this is early on. Nowadays, it's very common for us to hear these, you know, companies and Worker and you know, Out of Darts or whoever it is that's getting parts machined and or injection molded or whatever. But you have to think about 10 or 12 years ago, that wasn't very commonplace. And somebody who came in that was doing that, you know, was just unheard of. So, you know, and anybody who does look at it, I would say, when I was doing the piece on it, you can go and get a quote directly from them, obviously. So these are going to be very boutique. It's going to be very expensive. I didn't mention it. I don't think we even talked about it, but I was saying that you can anodize your aluminum. So if you don't like the colors of it, so obviously if it just looks like metal, aluminum can be anodized, and I'm almost positive because I'm not 100% sure, because that's something you'd have to reach out to them for. I've seen painted and colored parts on their site, but that wasn't a
thing
that
done was offered. The original X-Skull platform, actually, they've done some really cool stuff with it before. Like, the first, like, original video of the X-Skull platform that they showed off online was Drac actually doing a video of one that looked like a Beretta 50 cal, and it was anodized all black in-house by them. So they might still have the capacity to do that. I'm just not sure what colors they'd offer, and they'd probably charge you extra for it. But yeah, it should, in theory, be possible.
Honestly, like, if you have a part like that, if you get this stuff made and you get it, you can have anybody anodize it. Like, true. Anybody that does anodizing, like, people in the EDC world do this all the time, where you have, like, your favorite tool and you just have it anodized to the color that you want to match all your other stuff. So you could go wild if you just know someone, or there's an anodizing shop near you that'll, like, do cool work.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have the money to buy one of these damn things, you've got the money to have someone anodize the parts.
Yeah.
More than likely.
Yeah. Exactly.
From my understanding, the X-Skull platform is, like, this modular frame in which you can put in various plunger tubes and pumps or priming options, whether it be bolt action, slide prime, pump prime. And, like, you can even turn it into a pistol or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then you add... And then it has all these bolt holes all over it, so that way you can strap, like, some sort of frame to it, and that's what the new thing is being covered, was the new chassis cover for it.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
That's why I called it sort of a skin, because of the way that it wraps. Think of it like the skull is, you know, the X skull is the brain of the unit, or the central unit, and what you're putting over the top of it is kind of like, you know, putting a skin over the top.
They refer
cap.
To it on their site as armor and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like Flycor, but for springers.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm looking at it right now, and I gotta say, I do kind of dig the shape of it. My real complaint is just the color, obviously, because orange tip, no orange anything.
If I were to get one, I would totally have that anodized in red, and it would look hot. That would look great. I'm digging the shape of this thing.
It looks like a space rifle.
It's
or
like
something.
Right up my alley for like what I remember nostalgia wise from Explorer and whatnot. And I actually looked back at what the free blaster that they'd give away in the tournaments was called. It was called the X Shot, actually, which is kind of funny. It almost looks like a mix of X Zeus, but like with more unique greeblies on it. And then it has like an integrated pump grip rather than having the pump bars on the outside. So it has like an internal pump or whatever on it. And it looks pretty cool.
That's cool. I mean, this whole line, it's so unique. It's got something going on, and it's got history. I think that's really, really great. Someday maybe I will see one in person. Someday I will have a rich friend who shows me their Explorer blaster.
Well, if I ever get rich and I get one, I'll show it to you in person.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Someday when we get to meet in person, and maybe we'll sit down for some tabletop gaming and we'll play our last topic of the day, which is something kind of unusual, outside of the ordinary, and a little bit a little something light and silly to end on. Who was it that found this? This was an interesting one that popped up over in Phone Blast Discord, which is a tabletop RPG called Hyper Weapon. And the interesting part about it, and so okay, so for people who aren't super familiar with these types of games, you know, obviously the most well-known one is Dungeons and Dragons, and what Dungeons and Dragons actually at its core is it's just a book of rules. There's nothing else. Like you there is no other, like you can technically go to a store and buy two books and play Dungeons and Dragons. You don't actually need anything else. But obviously you can buy endless dice and minis and all this stuff. And you need dice, but like you can also find other ways to randomize your stuff if you have to. What they're doing here, and so normally when you people develop all kinds of other tabletop RPGs, and normally when you go to buy one, what you really just get is like a PDF of rules. And everything else you're sort of on your own to figure out. But what this one, the interesting, unique thing that this one is selling itself on is that some of the randomizing choices, rather than using dice, are essentially skill-based, based on using, especially like targeting and accuracy stuff, is based on actually shooting dart blasters at targets. It sounds like, you know, like you get your rules PDF or whatever, and some of the pages are things that you print out and you hang them around the room. And when you're supposed to shoot at something, because the plot overall is supposed to be about hunting kaiju, giant monsters. Rather than rolling a die to see if you hit something, you actually have to shoot and hit something. And I think that's really clever and really fun. And it's cool to see our toys, our hobby, used in a different context in this way. And I think sort of the biggest thing for me from our perspective is, you know, when D&D players and other tabletop RPG players love to build costumes and get in character and sort of go the extra step to really feel like you're a member of the party. And I think that this offers opportunities to take a lot of the sort of cosmetic modding skills and prop design. Because like you see all these blasters that people design that are like have a backstory and have like really specific things going on that relate to the character that they're designing and painting this blaster for. And this seems like a really cool outlet for that kind of modding. I think a lot about but one of the mod of the weeks on Twin was a what's the zombie strike, the two shot hammer prime
double strike.
It was a double strike that had like pages of backstory. And it was just a really beautiful paint.
Oh, are you thinking about the hammer shot, that mod? That
it was not. Like... It was not a hammer shot. It was definitely a double strike because it was for a real life RPG that was limited to two shot blasters.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of something else.
Yeah. I mean, people have done gorgeous hammer shots too, but I think about this one in particular because it was just absolutely beautiful and it was very clearly a prop piece. Did not have an orange tip because it was being used in a private field. But this feels like a more accessible, because like not everybody can get out to a full scale real life role playing situation on a private field that they have to travel to and like take a week off of work or whatever to do. This feels much more accessible for a lot of people and is a great reason to do that kind of cosmetic, like detailed modding work. And there's a lot of great blasters to like do that kind of stuff with that, you know, don't have any like competitive place necessarily, but like just have really great lines and shapes. I think about the double strike. What else? You know, there's other great stuff like that. I mean, this has a very like sci-fi aesthetic. the game does.
Hmm.
Joel, I'm leading into you to talk about the blaster you wanted to talk about. I'm like,
yes.
I'm like the Roblox... poking the bear here.
Okay, we finally get to talk about the best leak of the entire episode.
Come on, man.
Joel taking a hand challenge right impossible.
I'm tired, okay? It's like a quarter to midnight.
You're tired.
KT is the only one who gets to say that here.
Oh my god.
But yes, it's the most amazing blaster to come in this episode's news. The Roblox Space Lock Ray. It screams Marvin the Martian. It's gorgeous.
It does.
It looks silly.
Just like Marvin the Martian's blaster. And
it's everything I want in Nerf.
It's a, what, it's a 8-round revolver?
Yeah, eight-round rear revolver. It appears to be.
Yeah. And it just has like such a giant, like 50s future space look. Kind of thing that's perfect for this kind of game. Right?
Less freaking Fortnite M4s. More space lock rays, please.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. I think actually that's a really great attitude for us to end on. Less Fortnite M4, more Roblox Space Lock Ray. That's what we want. Less gun, more silly, more giant modular 72 round circle drum.
Please. More insanity, more silliness, more crazy.
More insanity, more double punch.
Please, more of that.
Yeah, please, absolutely.
No, okay, 1911s. Well,
I'm glad we're all in agreement. We have solved Nerf. we have figured out.
Million dollar idea right there, Hasbro. Pay us our checks.
Yep.
We did it, boys. Milsim is no more.
My P.O. box is publicly posted, so you know where to send the check.
Yes, as is mine.
Yep.
Mine is not.
I have an email.
I have an email as well.
I'll give you my PayPal account info.
Yep. Just message me, Hasbro. I'll DM you my PayPal and whatnot, and we can work that out.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I think we've more or less casted a pod for the night. Does anybody have anything unusual going on to plug right now?
Eating hot glue.
Eating hot glue as always.
I have secret projects everywhere.
Yes, you do. Sure you do. I know what he's up to. I know what you're up to.
I wonder if anyone will figure out what you teased in your desk setup.
Maybe.
I know what he teased.
I know you did.
I'm sure Jolt does.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, please be sure to check out all of our individual channels down in the description. Thank you if you listened this far into the podcast. I think we kept this under reasonable. It's like an hour and 15. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, not bad.
So with that... bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.